Well, I didn't cry this time like I did the last time. Last service when he said that, I just almost completely lost it.
Yeah, I thought we were going to have to just pick her up off the floor. I thought she was going to lose it.
Pretty sweet. Pretty sweet.
One thing we did say, and I just want to say it again for this service as well, because it's so true and it hasn't changed. Obviously, we have been up here several times. So there are people that we have met and seen and kind of keep that relationship going, which always feels good. But it's been a couple of years, obviously, because of where things are at, you know, the whole COVID deal and just everything involved with that. Our travel stopped for a while. But when we came in this building yesterday, I mean, we just stepped into the building. I felt so like we were just home, like we came home. And it just felt really this whole belonging thing was right here as well. And I love it. And I know that it's because there are people, but there are also just the Spirit of God that has been cultivated here that we get to step into and join with you in it.
Yeah, we just want to say thank you, Brenda, and whatever her husband's name is.
Dennis.
I was so conscious of the fact that Brenda was not here by your side and that she was in the back, but yeah. Brenda and Dennis for just always making it a great place to come.
Yeah.
And I told Brenda yesterday at the workshop that, you know, we've been coming since 2013. Mm-hmm. I think this is like our sixth visit. And I am amazed because, you know, she comes and she's all there and she has a very full workload. And I just shared with her how meaningful it was to me that she brings her presence to these times together. I feel that she's always fully there. And I just want you to know, we really love you guys. We love who you are and what you're cultivating here. This morning, when the very first service started and the worship started, I just got this download and I'm going to deliver it to you. Probably won't be maybe quite as, I don't know, but we'll trust the Lord with it. But the first word that I heard the Lord say was consolidation, that you guys are in a season of consolidation. And this last period of time, you know, we've seen so much happening in America and really around the world. And it's changed a lot of things. It's required a lot of shifting and a lot of adjustment. But the overwhelming sense that I had about Northgate this morning is that you guys are in a season of consolidation. And these are some of the definitions. A process of uniting. The quality of being united. To join together into one whole, to make firm and secure, to strengthen, to merge. It's a coming together. And I feel like in this time and in this season where people are being challenged in so many areas of life, of work, of family, I feel like this is a time where God is causing you to come together. Yeah. God is causing you to consolidate. He's causing you to identify how strong you are when you are together. We kept saying it yesterday, but I want to say it again today. You are better together. I want you to say that we are better together. We are better together. There's something that God is doing in you and through you that he cannot do when you are separated, when you are distanced, when you are in. There's something, you know, coming from a big building, it could feel like a demotion over here in the equipping center. But I feel like that is that just that language, the equipping center, because this is a season what God is doing, that he is equipping you of what it looks like to work together, to be consolidated. Some of you have been coming to church, and the Lord says it's time for you to bring your presence to church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Bringing who you are, bringing the who you are, bringing what's inside of you, that ability to know and be known. And so I just want to bless you in this season. Mm-hmm. Of coming together.
Yeah.
Father, we bless what you're doing in the hearts and the minds and the system. Like, it's not a demotion. It's like a preparation for an explosion. Ha-ha. Whoa. Yeah, Father, we're not getting smaller. We're getting bigger. We're getting grander. We're getting unified. Mm-hmm. We're coming together. So, Father, we just thank you for that.
Thank you, Lord.
Today we want to talk, it's 12:30 our time frame? Okay, somewhere there. We just want to know. I just need to know. So we're going to talk about love. We feel like, do we have our little slide on? We feel there's a love feast coming your way. Or a love fest. Does it say fest or feast? Yeah, but it's a love
both.
Fest.
Yeah.
How many of you were around in the 70s? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? All we need is love. Bum, bum. There, you,
there
go.
You go. That's it.
That's it. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the fact that there's an increase of love that God is preparing for us to step into. In the first service, I talked about the fact that this is a season. It's a fresh baptism or baptizo of God's love. And you can have bapto or you can have baptizo. Bapto is when you take that cucumber and you dip it into the water or the brine and you take it out. But baptizo is when you take that pickle, that cucumber, and you dip it into the brine and it turns into a... You leave it in there. It actually changes the molecular structure of that cucumber. That cucumber is never going to be a pickle again. Say, no. I'm never going to... Oh, shoot.
That pickle is never going to be a cucumber
that
again.
That pickle is never going to be a cucumber again. Say it with me. That pickle is never going to be a cucumber again.
I love it.
I feel like there is this thing that God's doing where he's awakening in us a fresh awareness of his love for us. A fresh awareness of how he desires to be with us.
You know, we say things all the time like God is love, and we know that that's true. We have it here, you know, cognitively, but really we don't get it. We don't really understand what that means. God is love is kind of just sounds kind of like in some of the things from, you know, in the past. We just say these things without having real understanding of what it really means. But God being love, he is love, means that he is and loves wholeheartedly all the time. There's no level that changes in his love toward us. I mean, he can't even go 1% less for you than someone over here, because that would be denying himself, denying who he is. He is absolutely wholehearted every time in every way with us, the way he loves us. The essence of him being that, just wholehearted. You know, from eternity past, we know the three person in the Trinity. There is an absolute overwhelming love that they have for one another that is fully wholehearted all the time. The way that he loves us is the same way. I mean, the way he loves in the Trinity is the same way he loves his family, the church. The same way that he loves each one of us. It's just with all of his heart and in great humility. It just doesn't change. And we have to come to a place of really understanding what that means in our lives as well.
So in the same way that he loves the Father, he loves us. He loves us no less. 1 John 4:16 says, actually 13 through 16 says, this is how we know. This is how we know we're living steadily and deeply in him and he in us. He's given us life from his life, from his very own spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well. We've embraced it heart and soul. This love that comes from God.
That's right.
God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us. The love that's burning in God's heart for God has at least five distinct interrelated expressions. We want you to see the cycle of how love flows. So you have God, and God loves God. Say, everybody say, God loves God. God's love for his people. God's love, our love for God, sorry. Our love for ourselves and our love for others. So the way it works is this way. God loves God. And God loves us, his people, with that same love that he loves his son and that he loves the Spirit. We receive that love. And it's with that love that we love ourselves. We love him in return with that love, and it's with that love that we also then love ourselves, and that love is then the love that flows through us to the people around us. So who God is to me is who God is through me. So I'm going to receive God's love. I'm going to love him with that love. That furious, unconditional, consistent, never changing, always faithful love. I'm going to love me. Everybody say, I'm going to love me with his love. You don't have to work up your love to love you. You don't have to find love. You don't have to figure out what that looks like. No, he's saying, if you receive my love, love you with the love that you have received.
You can't give away what you haven't received.
That's right.
You know, and the fact is that the intensity that he loves us, again, it's hard to even imagine how that really works. But God loves, obviously, he loves his son, right? And we as fathers and parents know how we love our own children, yeah. And that passion, that intensity that we love. It's like there isn't anything that we wouldn't do for our kids, right? And I said this morning with Dennis, I said, you know, I know you have boys, and I do too. And if you called me and said, hey, would you come and help my boy over here? But sure, I'd do that because, you know, I like Dennis. I love him.
You
I
love
think,
Dennis.
Hey, as a family, we're in this together. But if I had a decision to make where with my boys were next to your boys and I could only make one decision, I might have a struggle there because my heart is so much for my own kids. But, you know, it doesn't work that way with God.
Yeah.
He loves us with the same intensity, the same passion,
yeah.
The same excitement, the same delight. Even that look that Dennis said, you know, bright eyes. He's got bright eyes for every one of us.
Yeah.
And it's with that same intensity and passion that he loves us. It's just like he loves his own son. And there's not anything that I could do that would make him love me more. But I want you to get this. There's not anything that I could do or that you could do that would cause him to love you less. It's just not. There are things that I can do, choices I can make that can hamper my fellowship with God. I can actually kind of take a step back. I can maybe even build some walls, and we'll talk about some of the things we struggle with a little bit later. But the point is that it doesn't change anything on his end.
Right.
He loves us in that same way all the time.
So each person of the Trinity, we kind of just kind of recap this a little bit. God's love for God, each person in the Trinity intensely loves the others with all their heart. And then God's love for his people looks like loving his people with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his strength. He loves the redeemed with the same intensity, passion, and desire that he loves within the fellowship of the Trinity. And then our love for God, God's very own love is imparted to us by his Spirit. Romans 5:5 says, and this hope is not a disappointing fantasy because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And it's that love that we love ourselves with. And so we love ourselves, okay? Within God's love, but we also love us for God's sake. I want you to say, we love us, or I love me, for God's sake. You see, when I love me with God's love, I honor me. This fellowship in the Trinity, there's love, honor, compassion, grace that's demonstrated in the Godhead. And I receive that love. And I love me with that love. It's for me, but it's also for God's sake, because those out there, they see the way that I love me. And who does it direct them to? It directs them to the giver of love. When I honor me, when I take care of me, when I am compassionate with me, when I am tender with me, when I am kind with me, it is a demonstration of God's love that causes them to be directed to God the Father.
So then in our love for others, this is how it works. John, 1 John 4:19 says that we, though, are going to love, we're going to be loved, and we are loved, so now we can love others the way that he loved us first. I love the fact that in John 15:9 it just says, just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you.
So he even shows us how.
John 17:23 says, you live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect unity, and the world will be convinced that you have sent me, for they will see that you love each one of them in the same passionate love that you have for me.
So we want to take a few minutes and just look at what does love look like. It can be a bit elusive. Sometimes love looks like pizza. Kind of crazy, but that's the word that we use, isn't it? The same love that the word we use, the same word we use for covenant, family, I love you, Carla, Aaron, we love you. We say, oh, we love pizza. And sometimes we talk about that stuff out there that we love in a greater form or fashion than we do one another. Do you know what I mean by that? We can talk about our love for hunting and we get all excited and we build this big picture and excitement and the interaction that happens when I go hunting and it's so amazing. But we don't carry with that word the same depth of emotion and passion that we do with one another. Love is both an action and an emotion. We often talk about love as a choice, and love is a choice, okay? But love is volitional, but it is also an emotion. In the context of that emotion, you have the warmth and passion that causes love to come alive. When we define the word emotion, how many of you get scared when we use the word feelings or emotion? We talked a lot about that yesterday. Nobody's raising their hand. Oh, that's great. Yesterday we talked a lot about emotions. But the word emotion comes from the Latin word movere, which means to move. So your feelings or your emotions are meant to move you, okay? They are meant to move us towards something. So I choose to love you, but the warmth and passion of love, the feeling of love, causes me to move toward you. It causes me to bring myself, my presence, into your presence. That warmth and passion, that feeling of love, causes me to be moved to do something for someone that I wouldn't otherwise do. So we have the choice of love, but we also have that feeling, that emotion of love. So we're going to take a few moments and look at five virtues of love. What does it look like? What does God's love look like to us? When we receive that cascade of God's love, that overwhelming awakening sense of God's love for us, what does it look like? When I love me, what does it look like? When that love flows through me to you, what does it look like? I shared with the first service that a number of years ago, we were having a soaking session when we were in Vacaville, and Graham was leading us in an encounter, and And all over the sanctuary, great big huge sanctuary, there were bodies laid out all over the floor. And I was laying on the floor, and in this encounter, the Lord took me to a big huge meadow, big huge billowing hills of tall green grass with tons. It was just filled with little white Shasta daisies. Do you guys know what they are? They're from our neck of the woods. And I was about 4 years old, and I had a little white dress on, and on that dress were woven into the fabric little white daisies. And I sat down in the meadow, and there the Father was standing there beside me, and I picked a daisy. And what do we normally do when we pick a daisy? We go, "He loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not." But this day, I said, "He loves me, he loves me. And I became overwhelmed with the reality that every one of those daisies, for as far as my eyes could see, each petal of each daisy was echoing, "I love you. I love you. I love you." Him loving me not was not an option. Him not loving me wasn't going to be in any of those daisies. And it's in that same way, in that same passion, in that same, I want you to get that picture. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. So let's look at what he loves me looks like. Our capacity to love comes from and flows out of our love connection with him. So we can only give what we have received, 1 John 4:7-8. Matthew 22:36-40 talks about the two greatest commandments. And what are those two greatest commandments? To love what? With all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second one is what? Love your neighbor as or in the same way that you love yourself. So your ability to love your spouse, your family, the people you work with, the people sitting next to you here, the people in your community, your ability to love them is completely dependent on how you love yourself.
So many times in the church, we'll read scriptures like, you know, we need to prefer others above ourselves. We need to think about their opinions as higher than our own. And we get this picture of, you know, if we don't do that kind of thing, and obviously those scriptures are true, but we also have to understand context and what it really means. Because so many times we feel like if we try to take care of ourselves, we're being selfish. If we try to help make sure that we're in good shape before we really give everything we have to other people, that's putting ourselves first. It's like the tall poppy. We don't want to be ahead of everybody else. No, we need to back up, and this is the way that we show humility. And really, in many ways, that's kind of a false humility. Because we all know, just practically speaking, when we fly, when that oxygen max drops on the plane, what are we supposed to do first if we're with kids? We're supposed to put it on ourselves first. Why? Because if you pass out, you're not going to help anybody, right? The point is, you have to have and know your own care and what you need. And this area of love is absolutely the baseline for everything that we need. If we can really get this and we can learn how to love ourselves and know even what that love looks like practically, what are the ways? These are the virtues of love.
So we've got five. The first one is kindness, which is basically gentleness, concern, consideration, selflessness, understanding. And in Old English, kindness meant noble deeds, a habit of being kind. It comes from the word kinship, okay, to kinship. Do you guys know that word? You probably know that well up here. Kinship is I'm having a hard time. Kinship is that sense and feeling that I would do for you what I would want you to do for me if I was in the same situation as you. So when you're driving and you see somebody in the ditch, it's kinship that causes you to stop and help them get out of the ditch. Does that make sense? You do for them what you would want them to do for you.
When we receive that kind of love, it absolutely fuels us on the inside. It becomes the core of who we are. And in Romans 12:9, it says this. It says, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life for the good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. And you can absolutely practice second fiddle when you have received that love yourself. Because you're so full of his love, you can love in such a way to where you don't have to be up front. You can take a back seat and still love and be kind.
So I want you to take a moment and think about the ways in which God has been tender with you. The ways in which he's been gentle. The times in which he has revealed consideration for you. Where he has understood you. Think for a moment about your need for you to be tender to yourself or kind to yourself. In what ways have you been harder on yourself? Than what has been healthy, than what has been helpful. In what ways have you needed to do for yourself what you would easily do for somebody else? Kindness. The second virtue of love is tenderness, which is being tender-hearted, compassionate, sympathetic, gentle, giving. Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace. Some of the ways that we are least tender and compassionate with ourselves is in the way that we speak about ourselves, our self-talk. The thoughts that ruminate in us. I remember as a young girl hearing my mom speak to herself, saying, oh, Shirley, that was so stupid. And I remember feeling overwhelmed with sadness that my mom was not being kind. She was not being compassionate. She was not being tender towards her own frailties, towards her own, frailties is a good word. Ephesians 4:32, be kind. Everybody say, be kind. Tender-hearted, forgiving each other. These virtues all interrelate. They all overlap. They work together. But that's being tender-hearted. It's when I call my husband and I say, Steve, I just turned the corner and I lost grip of the steering wheel and my car has run into the curb and it's totally blown my tire. And he's in the middle of a really big day. And he says, I'll be right home, baby. That tenderness towards me, that tenderness of compassion, sympathy in that moment, in what ways do you need to be tender towards yourself? In what ways have you received God's tenderness towards you? In what ways is God showing you how you can be tender with the lives of people around you?
Yeah, let me just jump on there because I think so many of us don't even recognize how we self-talk. I think self-talk's probably one of the biggest areas that we can sabotage ourselves or really help ourselves. And it's so familiar to so many of us that we don't even recognize when we're doing it. And I don't remember the study right now, but I read in a study that it's like, I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of time a day that we're talking to ourselves. We're actually having this dialogue. Yeah. And that will actually set us in motion to how we are, first of all, receiving things for ourselves, a belief about ourselves. But that belief about ourselves is actually what puts in motion the way that we are going to behave and you know, treat other people that are a part of our lives as well.
I think that study was 50,000 negative thoughts about ourselves in a day.
Amount. Yeah.
50,000 negative thoughts in a day. Mm-hmm. Being tender towards ourselves. The third one would be generosity in both resources, personal self, and emotion. Being open-handed, unselfish, and liberal. Many of you are so generous with your things, with your stuff, with your finances, with your vehicles, with your homes. You would immediately do something for somebody. You are a generous people, but maybe not so generous with your personhood, with your emotions. When you come here and we gather together, you know what makes this place happen? Is you bringing your presence. You bringing your whole heart. You bringing all of yourself. You being generous with what's happening inside of you. Every time you are honest with what's really going on inside of you, you're being generous. Every time you let someone into see what's really going on inside of you, you've just been generous with your personal self. The generosity of personal self is what makes us rich as a community. It's actually what causes us to grow as a family. It's what actually causes us. It would be like a bonding agent. The more I know about you personally, the more often you bring your presence into my presence, the more connected we are going to be, the more sense of family that we are going to be. When we sing that song, I love your presence. That's what the Father says over us. That's what he's saying over you. He's saying, I love your presence. I love your presence. Some of you are coming to this place with the Father, but you're not bringing fully your presence. There's parts of you that you're hiding, that you're withholding, but the Lord is saying, bring your whole self to this place with me. Bring your whole self to every moment, every engaging encounter with one another.
You know, and she said that it really does, so many of us put that in context with finance and personal things that we have that we can give, you know, tangibly in that way. But it really does start in a decision that we make to actually give. Open ourselves mm-hmm. up, the places that we hide, the places that we're holding back, and decide to do that. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8 says this.
Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work.
Now, if you back up at the beginning of that, it started with each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. It means you can make a decision right now that I am going to live in a generous way. I'm receiving the generosity of the Father. He holds nothing back from me.
Yeah.
Which means I'm going to live wholehearted. I'm going to live in a way that I'm holding nothing back in all of my relationships and with the community that I'm a part of.
Much of the richness in life that you're looking for is held in the context of you holding nothing back,
yeah.
of you being generous with your personal self. Compassion is linked with grace, forgiveness, and tenderness, sympathy, care, concern, sensitivity. Jesus demonstrated compassion in how he loved those who were lost and suffering. Exodus 34:6 says, then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Some of you are positioned for an upgrade in receiving compassion for yourselves and giving compassion for yourselves. And then the fifth virtue is forgiveness, which is ceasing to blame and letting the offending party go free of punishment. Feel no resentment toward, feel no malice toward, harbor no grudge toward. You've done a good job of forgiving others. Maybe in some cases you've done a good job of receiving God's forgiveness, but you actually haven't forgiven yourself. You can't give what you have not received. You see, who God is to me, how I experience and how I receive his love, I love myself with that love, and that love flows through me to those around me.
So many times we struggle in these areas where we can't really step out and do the things we know we need to do because we're holding back, because we haven't been kind or compassionate or generous
with ourselves
or really forgiven ourselves. And it really starts there. We have to come to a place of recognizing that it's all been paid for. He gives it all. It's all given wholeheartedly. And we need to learn how to live wholeheartedly, but we've got to be loving ourselves to be able to do that.
And the way that we've received, we want to give. Let's just do this. Let's just stand to our feet. And Tanner, would you just maybe come to the keyboard? We just want to release over you guys a fresh baptism of love. A fresh baptizo. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I ask that you would actually awaken love right now. Awaken love. Some of you have not even been aware how to love you. You've not known, how do I love me? What does that look like? What does it feel like? And right now we just release a fresh revelation, a fresh experience.
Thank you, Jesus.
Of the Father's love for you. Father, I ask you to take them to a field of daisies. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Furiously, overwhelmingly, passionately, faithfully, consistently, unconditionally, exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask, think, or even imagine, he loves you. Father, right now, we ask for a release, a fresh awakening, a fresh remembrance, Lord, of your love. Take us back to that moment, that first moment when we knew you loved us and you would do anything for us, even give your son for us. I ask right now, Father, that your love would begin to infiltrate and penetrate every dry, protected, worn out, exhausted place in our hearts. Every place that has resisted your compassion. Every place of our hearts that has refused to receive your tender mercy. I ask for you to just saturate. Saturate. Let it rain, Father. Let it rain right now. Let it rain, oh Father God. Let it rain. Thank you, Father. Thank you for awakening in us a revelation of your generosity towards us. What that really means. What it really looks like. What it really feels like. Lord, I ask that you would cause us to right now begin to feel your love.
Thank you, God.
Yeah.
Thank you, God.
Cascading. Cascading. Your love, Father. Cascading.
Thank you, Lord.
we can just stay in this place for just a minute. Tanner, I just feel like you have a prophetic song. So I'm just invite the Holy Spirit. Say, come, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're here. Come, Holy Spirit. Now, once you get a vision, I don't know how many of you have been watching The Chosen, but I encourage you to get on there and watch The Chosen. Get a glimpse of what Jesus is like. When he sees you, what does his face look like? Think about that just a minute. When he sees you, what does his face look like? I had a man from Afrosec, first hour, he said, I got to go find the face of Jesus because I've been beating myself up and I need to quit that. And I said, yes, you do. That shame thing has to go. And so we just come in agreement right now. Like when you see Jesus face to face, he's not frowning. He's got bright eyes that makes the heart glad over you. So that's just for a couple minutes. Tanner, I want you to just sing the Father's heart over us. Could you do that?
Yeah. I have called you Father, and I have called you Maker, and I have sang your holy, holy King. I have called you Lord of everything, but you have called me friend. Called me friend, and I've said you are God, high and lifted up, but you have called me friend, your own. You've called me your own. Oh, you've called me your own, and you're singing as high as the heavens and as deep as the ocean is your love for me, is your love for me, and you have called me friend. You have called me friend. Every other name falls away, 'cause you have called me friend. Oh my God, it doesn't end. You've called me friend.
So good. So good. Can you say this over yourself? I belong. I want you to say it again. I belong. You know what our mission is? To make sure everybody out there knows they belong to a Father who's generous. Lord, I just pray that you would seal the work of love in our hearts and just take it deeper, 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 deeper. Let us abide and that perfect love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Make sure everybody around you knows they're amazing, okay, before you leave. And we have prayer team be up here to pray if you want prayer.